life happened, I went to a very bad place. It was so bad. I knew the word a little bit.
Right.
You know what I mean? I knew Leviticus 24, 19 through 21. An eye for an eye.
Right.
I don't know if I can do it without crying, y'all. 24:19. Anyone who injures their neighbor is to be injured in the same manner. Fracture for fracture. Eye for eye. Tooth for tooth. The one who has inflicted the injury must suffer the same injury.
Right.
To me, then, I felt like, and it was twisted, I felt like I had a right to start planning a murder. But when I came to Christ, when I hit bottom, laying on my floor, Matthew 5:38. You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. The Lord untwisted in me what was twisted.
Right.
And instead of, I quit planning the murder, obviously, because I'm not in prison. Orange ain't my color. None of them colors are my color.
Right, whichever color.
Whatever color they using ain't mine. Right. Even the pink over there ain't my color. And the Lord so sweetly, Jason, when I was in the floor, he reminded me, vengeance is mine. And in the same breath, he also said, I am just and I am loving and desire a relationship with all people.
Yep.
For you are all my people. Some just don't know it yet.
Right.
Man, when he said that to me, I'd look. What am I supposed to do then, Lord?
Right.
He said, every time you drive past there, every time you set your eyes on it, on them, period, you bless them.
Yep.
God bless them. Ask me to bless them. God bless them.
Right.
I started doing that. And it changed my life.
Yeah.
It changed me. It changed my heart. It changed some thinking.
Right.
And he's faithful like that.
Yeah. And it's so cool how he does that in you, but also understanding it's creating a landing strip for him to land in their life. Mm. Love too, you know?
Yeah.
They need love too. And it's like that, you know, in the context of what we're talking about, the love, like everything that we go through, everything that we look at, according to the word, it all comes back, like,
yeah,
to love. Love is the foundation why, because that's God himself, you know? That's so cool.
Yeah. It was just, you know, I was ready.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, no. Don't do that.
Right.
Miss Tina, do you have any prayer requests over there, sister? No? Okay. Let's continue to pray for Neva and Joe Pyatt. And then also continue to pray for Marissa, who was in an automobile accident a while back. And then also pray for Tina, which is Ernie's sister, who apparently had a heart attack and had to have a stent put in. Tina, Ernie's sister, had a heart attack. I'm assuming she had a heart attack. They think she had a heart attack, and they ended up putting a stent in. So.
So, Father, we just come before you, and we bring these requests. Father, we just thank you that you're a healer. And that's not just the physical things of our life, Father. That's emotional and psychological, Father. That's full restoration for every part that you've made us to be. So, Father, we just want to pray for Joe and Eva. We just thank you that we have already seen your hand at work in this situation, Father. And we just ask that you would continue to work in Joe's body and the physical, God, that you would just bring that to completion in his life, Father. And for Marissa, Father, we just lift her up. Again, you know the details of all this situation. You know all the ins and the outs, the smallest of details to the biggest of details. So, Father, we just pray for her. And, again, total restoration of her body, mind, soul, spirit, every bit of it, Father. And for Tina, God, you know, you've given us medicine. I believe you've given us knowledge of some things. But, Father, we don't want to lean to our own understanding even in those things. Father, we want to lean to what you have to say. And Father, when you fix something, you fix it back better than it was in the beginning. So Father, I just ask for this in Tina's life, God, that you would fix it back better than it was even before, God, and that you could do supernatural things. I have seen you take out metal. I have seen you take out stents. I have seen testimonies of those things where you can do things that don't make sense to our mind, Father. And even in this time, Father, I just feel from within you are urging that to rely more on you than even the ways that we see that bring a fix, God. So, Father, we run to you first. Father, we just thank you that you're going to move on these situations. And I want to lift up my friend Ashley as well today, Father. I thank you for what you're doing in her life. And I thank you, God, that you are just moving in such an amazing and supernatural way. And Father, I just thank you for freedom and just for a closer relationship with you for her in Jesus' name.
Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. The quality of life is not based on the ups and downs, but what you gain in these times. There's always something good in every situation. I know this can be hard to understand with all the bumps and bruises we encounter. It's not what happens that matters. It's what did you receive through that encounter. Encounters can knock you down or lift you up. The decision is yours.
The Refuge Church is located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Sunday school is at 10. Sunday worship is at 10:45. Sunday evening prayer is at 5. Sunday evening Bible study at 6. Wednesday Bible study at 7. Wednesday youth group at 7. If you have any other questions, you can contact Pastor Tammy Bailey at 580-729-0956.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
All your plumbing and HVAC needs, call Drew's at 580-343-2525. A company that cares.
We hope today.
We're not done. It ain't time to go, y'all. We're back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest for today is Jason Monk. His title for today is It's All About Love.
Right. So, we're going to get into Romans a little bit now. So, we're going to go over to Romans 13, and we're going to go 8 through 10 here. It says, do you have something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Before we get back, would you mind sharing about your church, your Rumble channel and all? I don't want anybody to miss out on the good stuff, man.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'll definitely share that. So we are still in the wait. That's what I keep telling people with the building. As far as that is coming together, we do meet in our home still at this time on Wednesday evening. So that's something if you're interested in, reach out to me on social media. I'm on Facebook. Also, I have a Rumble channel on there as well. That handle is at Firewalker or just Firewalker 77. No spaces. Firewalker 77. On the Rumble app, that can be put on your phones, also on your Roku as well. One thing that I would ask, I'm not a self-promoter, but I am a promoter of the things of God. And what I do recognize is God is using my life to speak into the lives of others. And so on that Rumble channel, use that as a resource for people that maybe just need some encouragement. We have over 30-plus teachings on there now. So that is a great resource for people to send people to if they just need some encouragement in the Word of God. And I want to make that available to people. Use that. You know, I know you have out there, everyone has relationships with people, but sometimes we're not as mature as others, and that's okay, right? We're all on our journey, and some of us are at different places than the others. But in that place, God has put a call in my life to bring forth His Word and bring encouragement. And so we just record that, and that's a library. You know, it's a good library to go and get encouragement for people or to send people to in that way. And one way you can help bring that about is just by commenting, just as you see on this Facebook post, no different. If you can comment, share it, anything that you can do to just kind of get that out for people, and then just let God do His thing, right? Mm-hmm. And let that fall into the laps of people who might need that. But definitely... I encourage people to go do that, and you can help the kingdom of God out. Let me put it that way. You can help the kingdom of God by sharing those things so that people can be built, uplifted and built up. So, yeah, I'm excited about it.
And that was Firewalker 77.
Yep, Firewalker 77.
I did put that in the comments, y'all.
You'll see the big beard. You can't miss it. All right, so we're going to go into Romans 13, and we're going to read verses 8 through 10 here. Now, I say that. We're going to start at 8. I may keep going. It says, owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. And what, we just read that, right? When Jesus, that was red letter, we came out of Matthew, where Jesus was talking about that. For the commandment says, you must not commit adultery, you must not commit murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in one. Love your neighbor as yourself. Right? And that's what we keep talking about. Love is the foundation from which everything else in the Christian walk comes from. Because if you are walking in love, then you won't do the things that you aren't called to. Right? And the way I like to explain that a lot is sometimes we get so tied up in the do's and the don'ts, right? People want to, and you know, and we even see in the Word where Paul talks about put these things aside, and he lists these things that we need to steer clear of. But again, it's not like it's just a don't list. It is rather give your life to Christ, walking in this love that he is inside of you, becoming that. And guess what? You'll steer clear of those things naturally, right? It's kind of like the stove. It only takes you being burned one time to realize that's hot. That's not for me, right? It's no different in those things. You see what those things bring to your life. But when you walk in the things of God, then he brings the instruction to your heart to say, hey, those things aren't for you. And he'll lead you out of that. He'll instruct you away from the things that aren't for you. I'm going to go ahead and go in 10. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. All right? So one of the things, I want to touch on this too, and I just want to share again. I should have done this the moment where I'm talking about my channel. But we meet on Saturdays at the Main Street Bible, at the Main Street Coffee Shop downtown. And there is someone who's coming to our home group that is very versed in the Old Testament when it comes to cultural understandings and things like that. And so we have been meeting at 10 o'clock on Saturday mornings. That is open to anybody who would want to join at the Main Street Coffee Shop at 10 a.m. on Saturday mornings. And what I love about this is Carrie, who's the teacher in that, she has a great knowledge and understanding of the Old Testament when it comes to its covenants and its traditions, even in the culture of the Jewish culture, right? And I feel like I'm kind of on the opposite side. I've read the Old Testament, but cultural understandings and all that thing is kind of far from me. But in the New Testament is more where God has brought me to. And so I love in that moments on Saturdays how it's like bringing those two together. And, you know, and that's exactly what we look like there in Matthew. Like Jesus was touching on what was, but he was also bringing what is, right? But those two marry each other. They're not conflicting. And some people will think that if they don't have a good understanding of the Word of God, right? If you don't get into this for yourself and start reading and get the revelation from the Holy Spirit of what this is saying, I mean, you can go back and you'll read Leviticus and say, ah, you smashed my finger? Get yours over here. No, wait a minute. The story didn't stop right there, right? There has to be an understanding of the whole context of the Word. And so that's what's going on Saturdays is it's really cool how that's happening. It's just, it's like an old and the new really coming together and bringing a full picture of the gospel, you know, instead of just going in and magnifying glass some things, because you can get in trouble for doing that. You must understand the context of God's heart. And he has given us multiple books through multiple writers to reveal his heart to us, right? And so Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. at the Main Street Coffee Shop. Just show up if you're interested. And I'm telling you, this is one of those that if you can always come, but we were there 3.5 hours this last Saturday. Like, wow. There's no schedule. We are there to just dig into the Word of God, and when we're done, we're done. So if you're done before we are, and that's why I say on Wednesday nights, if you're done before I am, the door's open, you know, come and go as you please. But come be a part of whatever that you want to be. I just know God is stirring up in me, and I see others around me a hunger like I've never experienced before in the Word of God. And I think this is so foundational to the things that I've kind of been talking about over these last months on the show. Is there's something that has been coming, right? And no longer is it coming. It is upon us. And we need a foundation in the Word of God. And that's why I'm really going back to love, because love is the foundation. That's who God is. And so we're going to experience some things in life. They're going to get a little bit crazy. And love needs to be our highest goal, because that will bring us into a place where we're not getting frustrated with people or with circumstance or any of those things. We're not being rude. We're not being ugly, right? But we are able to walk with an empowerment that God brings to our life through his Holy Spirit being love himself, and us literally giving into that in our lives to become love as well. Mm-hmm. And let that show. And one last encouragement kind of on that thought is, if you recognize somebody in your life that is mature in this in Christ, that walks well in this, go hang out with them. Spend time with them, right? Because just hanging out with those people that God has brought to a maturity in walking in love with people, and maybe you're not one of those people that are naturally inclined, right, to love, because some are. You know, I understand God has created us with personalities, and they're different, right? Mm-hmm. Some people are administrative, and sometimes that feels a little more, you know. Some people are very compassionate and empathetic, and that just feels like, ah, oh, you know. And not everybody likes all of those things, but it doesn't matter which one of those you are. It does not remove love from your life, because you can be administrative and to the point and all of those things and love people well. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit inside of you that literally brings that becoming love to your life, right? So don't discount yourself because, oh, I'm a this or I'm a that when it comes to our personalities. And if you see a place, and that takes maturity to even recognize, I don't do that as good as that person does. Go hang out with them. Go watch them. Mm-hmm. Go just be in their life and see how they respond to other people and allow God to use their life. You know, and I think about that into the word. It's one of the things I say more than any and remind people of the body of the word. It says that not one part of the body can say to the other, I am not in need of you, right? We are all in need of each other, because sometimes that person that is the compassionate and empathetic person needs that administrator to say, bruh, you need to move on, you know, like we need that push, right? God creates us all with these special gifts. Why? So that we work together as a whole. You know, I mean, God does make it feel just about you sometimes. And guess what? It is just about you sometimes. But the greater story of that is it's about us. It's about the body of Christ and seeing that as a whole, right? And God is all about that as a whole, his body. And he wants to use his body now in ways we cannot think or imagine. And if we will just come into a oneness like that and make love our highest goal in this place, dude, you are setting yourselves up to see some of the greatest signs and wonders and miraculous things that you have ever seen on this planet Earth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, look back to Scripture. What does Jesus say? These things that I've done, what were they done through? Love, right? Everything that Jesus done was always done through love. So these things that you've seen me do, guess what? You're going to do them also, but even more. How is it more? Because Jesus was one, but now he has multiplied himself inside of all of us. There are millions of us out there. There are millions of little Jesuses running around. And if we will see the truth of God's word, guess what? The truth is what manifests the signs and the wonders. And I know you get into that and you start breaking down, you start putting up denominational walls and all this stuff. Well, we don't believe this, we don't believe that. Well, how about we just believe God's words and quit messing about all that other business, right? Mm-hmm. Let's believe what the word of God says and pursue that with all of our hearts in the midst of you going to a denominational church. So be it. I'm not calling you to leave your church. I'm calling you to leave some of the mindsets that have been brought forth. Just as we see Jesus did. He called the Pharisees and the Sadducees to leave some of those mindsets that they had in their mind because there was something greater that they weren't seeing, right? And I know I'm getting some flack back about this stuff about coming against denominations, you know, or coming against churches. I am not coming against churches. I am coming against the theologies that come against the Word of God, yes. Right? And so let's get to the truth of the Word of God. Let's position our hearts and allow God to use our lives to touch other people's lives. I mean, Jesus modeled that so well. And he says that he didn't come to rule and reign in that moment. He came to be a servant to those people, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we need to do. Yeah. And how was that done? Through love. Yeah. It's always through love. Romans 6.
I want to take just a second. I would like to read the footnote for Romans 13:10.
Okay.
I have a NIV. It says, Christians must obey the law of love, which supersedes both religious and civil laws. How easy is it to excuse our indifferences to others merely because we have no legal obligation to help them,
right,
and even to justify harming them if our actions are technically legal? But Jesus does not leave loopholes in the law of love. Whenever love demands it, we are to go beyond human legal requirements and imitate the God of love.
Right.
See James 2:8-9. James 4:11 and 1 Peter 2:16, 1 Peter 17. For more information, for more about this law of love.
Yeah, it's good. We're good.
I really like the footnotes, y'all.
Yeah, it gives you somewhere else to go too. Yeah. That's awesome.
It helps me understand better.
Yeah.
Also, it takes this, and then when I come down here and see this, it like putting a marshmallow in the microwave.
It just grows.
Yeah. It expands.
Yeah, that's good. So Romans 6, we're going to go now, verse 15. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does this mean that we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God, once you were slaves to sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey the teachings that we have given you. Now you are free from the slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. So, you know, in this place, I love the book of Romans. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible. But it's also one of the most misinterpreted books of the Bible that I see in the body of Christ. Because they can go in and they'll pull parts of what Paul's talking about, and they'll start identifying with when he's talking about, I do what I don't want to do. And, you know, this whole sinful nature, sin-conscious warfare. But it's like all he's doing is sharing his experience in a very condensed version. Right? He's given us a very condensed version of what he was going through, because even the transition from Romans 7 to 8 is like, he gives you what he was experiencing, the problem, but then at right at the end of 7, right into rolling into 8, he gives you the solution. Like, this is what it was, but now, thank goodness in Christ, I'm free, you know? And he's talking about this here too, in being a slave. Anything that you made yourself a slave to, like, that's what you're going to follow, right? So, when we chose Christ, then he, through his power, removed us of being a slave to sin. No longer are we a slave anymore. But it is our choice. We have to choose him. We have to choose Christ. When we choose him, then we say, but now I'm a slave to you. And what I love about this too, and this is the thing that I've been learning, as in our teachings on Saturday, when you look at those the cultural meanings and what that looked like. So I know we're getting close to time, but I want to touch on this real quick. I think it's awesome with... So when you go and you look into the slavery in the Old Testament, right? There were very strict laws that the Jewish people had by God that if they had a slave, that they had to treat them right, right? There was specific things that they had to do. And one of the things about slavery, and this is something I didn't understand until later years in my life, I always just thought slave's a slave because we've seen that in the natural, right? And it's not a good thing. But God, a slave in that place oftentimes was... Let's say that I owed you a debt. I owed you $50,000. I couldn't pay it, right? So what I would do is I would choose and I would put myself into your slavery, which means I will come work for you to pay off the debt that I owe you, right? And so in that place, it's a different than this other going and ripping people from their family and forcing them into this and that. That slavery, and again, with the Jewish culture that God had given instruction to, is if someone becomes that slave, right, because they were indebted to you, so they began to work for you in that way. Is that when you see a lot of this verbiage, it's in cultural context. And that's what we have to understand. That's why it's so important to read the word and let God reveal those things to you. So if I choose to be a slave to something, they actually chose, I'm going to come be your slave because I know you're a debt. And then when the debt was paid off, guess what? I'm free. Or in that time, if it was exceeded 7 years in the sixth year, at the seventh year, they had to let you go. That was God's instruction. So even if that wasn't to be paid off, if I couldn't earn 50 grand in 6 years, at the end of 6 years, well, you had to write it off. I was done, and I was out of there, right? So God never entrapped them into a slavery. He always allowed for freedom to come, even though they'd got themselves in a pickle or a bind. And I love that. That's such the heart of the Father, right? To no matter what, sometimes when you get yourself in a situation, you got to walk it out a little bit. But God always has freedom. Freedom is always there at the end of it, you know, and I love that story. So when he's talking about some of these things, it's so important to understand the context of what he's saying, because Paul will even go on to say, I am a slave to Christ, right? I'm not a slave to sin, but I am a slave to Christ. But then God was just showing me this, and this is one of the things he took to me the other day. Well, that's what Paul said, and I'm not saying Paul was wrong. Paul was speaking from his understanding and speaking to those that would culturally understand what he was saying. But then I look at the words of Jesus, and what did Jesus say? I no longer call you slaves, but I call you friends. You know, it's the heart of the Father. Paul wasn't wrong. He was speaking into the way that they understood, just as Jesus did with the parables. If I tell parables of nowadays, I use culturally relevant stories to bring forth the truth of the gospel. That's what Jesus did. He brought forth culturally relevant stories to bring forth the truth of his word, right? So, because we can go back and we start reading about vineyards and all this and that, and we're going, what? You know, because there's no context in my culture for that. But I can talk about iPhones and electronics or give you analogies in that way, which are parables, right? I can give you those kinds of words and you understand them. So that has been what's so cool for me on that Saturday Bible study is it is bringing me to a greater understanding into the culture of what things that were being said and understood. And it doesn't do anything but swell the marshmallow. You know, It expands. It expands on now I see a little bit better up here, you know, what he was saying. Because sometimes God will reveal to your heart and it still bypasses the mind. But we love it in the moment where he reveals it even to our minds and say, oh, I see that now so much better. Like, I still believed it because it's the truth of God's word. But there's a greater understanding that comes. And to me, that's nothing but a maturing you in the body of Christ, you know. And I think that's so cool to see that.
You know, with that, I had invested in a store.
Yep.
I sold a pickup, my pickup, to invest in the store.
Right.
I think it was over $5,000, y'all. It was over $5,000.
Right.
And they reneged on the deal. He said, you just helping me because you my friend. No, bro. You told me I was going to get certain percentage ownership of the store and run it.
Right.
I'm a friend, but I don't know about that kind of friend, bro.
This is a business deal.
This is a deal, not a friend. You know, right. Friendship's over here for hang on a second, you know?
Right.
And so I hammered this guy. He's from India.
Yep.
Okay. Believes in God. Religious stuff.
Yeah.
You know, his religion deal. Okay. Right. Which, whatever. It's okay. So every week I would go up there. Where's my $50? And I had a piece of paper. Where's my $50, dude? Okay, $50 minus $50. Okay, now you owe me this much.
All right.
You know what the Lord did?
Canceled the debt.
Dude, let me tell you what the Lord did. I growled about it.
Right.
I was on my way to get that payment. And I walked in there. I received the payment. And the Lord said, that'll be the last payment. I want you to write paid in full and give him that paper.
Right?
Yeah. So I did. I looked at him and I said, I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't want to do this. Monica, no way, shape, or form wants to do this. But because I'm trying to get closer to God and I've come back to Jesus, I want you to know he told me to do what I'm about to do.
Right.
But I want you to know. I want you to know that I don't want to do this. But I'm going to, growling and all, you know. So I wrote paid in full, and I handed him the paper, and he started crying. The dude started crying right there.
Yeah.
He said, oh, my friend, my friend. I said, don't call me that right now.
We're still in the business.
Because I'm still in the feelings about what I just did, okay? But I want you to know, don't thank me. Because if it was up to me, I wouldn't have done it.
Right.
You need to thank God for Jesus. Yeah. Thank God for His Holy Spirit that now lives in me. Because that, my friend, is the only reason I'm doing what I'm doing.
Right.
And He wants you to know that He does love you. And we sat out there in front of this store, the very store, with tears streaming down our face and laughing at the same time.
Yeah.
And it was so amazing to me. In that moment, I don't know what I was... I was feeling a lot of feels, okay? We were able to sit there and laugh and give thanks with a joyful heart
right.
to God for not only freeing him from that debt, but freeing me from the anger and resentment. And bitterness that had been building up against this person because of that.
Right.
But I had to be willing to listen and let go.
Yep.
And man, that was hard. That was right. hard for a second. It was hard for a second. And then every time I went up there after that, hey, my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Your heart now becomes your testimony after.
Yeah, and
you know, so if you're in the hard now, know that's your testimony after. It's so cool how God does that. And only God can do that, you know?
Yeah, man. I was pretty tough.
That's awesome. That's a good story.
Well, you were talking about slavery, so that it seemed kind of fitting. I mean, I didn't want it to seem fitting, but Laura says, yeah, you remember this. Yes, sir. I do remember that. If you brought it up to my remembrance, you must want it to come out here.
Yeah.
To glorify you, because you are who you say you are.
Yeah. And if we'll just follow the things He calls us to, man, you're only opening your life up to seeing some of those amazing things, you know? Yeah. And, you know, and I'm going to quit with this and I'm going to pray, but with the... If it don't make sense, it's probably God.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you know, and I can get back into the covenants. You know, we live in a mm-hmm. covenant of Abraham, and like we're actually called to be the givers, not the borrowers. But if we can't walk in the mentality of the gospel in such of those places, you'll never be given those things. If you can't be faithful with little, God can never trust you with the much, you know? But in those moments, if you'll just follow His lead, mm-hmm. even when it don't make sense to this thing up here, you know, and again, like, that's why the word is so important, because sometimes you've read that and you haven't touched it forever, but then you walk something out, and then what does He do? Then He reminds you of His word, and you're going, oh, my gosh, yeah. You know, and I love that He reminds you after, not before.
Yes.
You know, because in that moment, it's like you realize this is the truth of who He is. But if I'd have known before, then I might have just made a choice out of the understanding instead of out of my heart. But then when I make it out of my heart, then I go back to Word and He reminds me and I go, oh, man, you're so awesome. You know, and then not only did it affect my life, it also mm-hmm. affected the life of another in a way that, what, drew them closer to the truth of the gospel mm-hmm. of Jesus Christ. You know, whether they know Him or not,
mm-hmm.
that's not the important part. Us walking in love is the important part, because that's what brings them into a knowledge mm-hmm. of who He is, you know, and walking that out before the world and with other brothers and sisters. What does the word say? They, the world, will know by your love for each other. Mm-hmm. But they'll also know by you loving on them, you expressing God's love to them. Why? Because you've become it yourself. or becoming it, right? Mm-hmm. And again, I understand this is a journey, but in that place, the quicker you get into this, and what does he say? Deny yourself. Like, just die, man. Just die. and allow God to do something in your life that will do nothing but bring better things. You know? So cool.
And when you say die, you don't mean like literally. No, you mean get over yourself and your feels and do what God wants you to do.
Yes. And his word says, pick up your cross. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Yes. And that death word I always use, it comes from baptism. When we get baptized, I am killing that flesh.
Yes.
You know, that's my choice. To kill every desire that was mine, you know, to kill every desire that was the flesh. And, you know, in simplicity, my parable in that is I gave God a dollar and he gave me back a million. Mm-hmm. You know, like when I choose to die to give up my flesh, like, you know, some people struggle with that thinking, oh, like if I give this away, what I'm going to get back? More than you could ever think or imagine. That's what you're going to get back, you know. So you're not going to give God a dollar and he throws back a dime. Mm-mm. That's not how he works. He always multiplies more than we can think or imagine. So, Father, I just thank you for your words today, Father. I thank you for those who are listening. Mm-hmm. May this be an encouragement to their life, Father. And, Father, I just pray that even those who, even through this message, have if the enemy would come in and try to condemn because they are not mature and walking in love, Father, we just silence the voice of the enemy right now in their lives. And, God, we just thank you that you have called us to this, and so you empower us, and there is no greater power on this earth that we can walk this from. And so, God, we just thank you for that. And I just ask that you would move in their hearts. And, God, if they're having a hard time submitting to this, God, you would just help them along the way, that you would just keep leading them. And I ask that you would send others in their lives that would love them well, so, Father, they could see what that looks like. And if somebody doesn't have somebody like that, I just ask that you would show them up, that you would bring them along the path of somebody that just loves well, that could show them how to do that. And, Father, for those who do love well, that you have already cultivated those things in their heart. Father, I just thank you for those people, and I thank you, God, that even what they have now is a time for more. God, that they are still going to be to walk in greater love in ways that they've never seen or thought or imagined that they could do, Father, more. Because we are going into a time, Father, where that is going to be needed more than ever, God. Because hard times are right ahead of us. But, Father, I thank you that where sin abounds, your grace abounds more and more and more. So, Father, we just love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. You have been tuned in to the Hour of Power. And you know I'm going to say it again. This is the most powerful hour of my day. From all of us here in the studio, myself, Monica Lovell, the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and our brother, Jason Mong. Y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you next time. Go love somebody today, y'all.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.